Oh?
That was 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Was it now? Well, damn, I'll keep talking for another 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. I think I might be safe now. Welcome, ladies. And let's see here. I think I have the music turned down low enough that you should be able to hear me. But just in case, let me know in local if the voice is okay over the music. I wouldn't want you to miss anything at all. They're quiet. I'm guessing Fantasy's having trouble with the stream again. Hello, hello, testing 1, 2, 3. Goodness, goodness me. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and thank you, Jazzy. Thank you very much. We will go ahead and get started, and let's see here. We left off. I have been, yes. So there's a little bit of play at the beginning of this particular recording. Alrighty, we left off with Alex going to visit Sylvia. Sylvia, Alex said, sitting down in a chair next to the noblewoman. Alex, she said, smiling at him. If you're going to offer to send me back to the city while you're gone, I think I'll decline. Sylvia said, setting down the book she'd been reading when he'd entered. Oh, that's surprising. I thought you were tired of playing prisoner for me. Hardly. Everyone already viewed me as a scandalous and amoral woman due to the charges laid on me. Since our deals and being able to see people, they simply view me as the Count's noblewoman concubine. The one he can't marry but doesn't want to get rid of. It's not that glamorous, but it's better than the stigma I felt in Brit during your last absence. If anything... If anything, I get quite a bit more deference now. Alex thought about what she said. Logically, it made sense if she suddenly spoke him up to everyone she knew, lived in his keep, and seemed perfectly content, it would lead to the concubine theory. I see. All right. Then I'll not make that offer. Did you want to talk about your walks, then? I imagine you might end up getting tired of being in the keep all the time. That'd be wonderful. I am growing weary of only seeing the sun through my window. I'd also like to be able to have my nails, hair, and clothes attended to. I'm afraid I'm growing... Well, I'm not looking my best right now. It limits who I am able to see. Alex took a moment to really look at her. Now that she mentioned it... Her nails were long, chipped, and a bit ragged. Her hair was a bit tangled, but not terribly so. Her clothes were also looking extremely worn, since she was only allowed the one set. All right. I'll give you free rein to be anywhere in the city of Brit, Alex said, picking the book up and looking at the cover. He'd given her several to help pass the time since her room was devoid of entertainment. In exchange, I want you celibate. You cannot engage in any sexual conduct at any level. And let's make this clear. That goes for other women as well. It includes kissing others, even holding their hands. I want you as pure as driven snow from here on out, unless I give you permission of some sort. Setting the book back down, he smiled at her. Sylvia stared at him. Then she suddenly made a small noise and bobbed her head. That makes sense. If I'm going to be your concubine, I'd have to be dedicated to you, and you alone, anyways. You have my oath, then, and I swear it. I'll be untouched by all from here on. Oh, my. That won't work there. Oh, goodness. I'm so sorry, sir. What has happened? Oh. I seem to recall that's how I got you. He didn't get no sex, but he got it under duress, it seems. Oh, my goodness sake. Let's see here. As to your clothes, he said, nails and hair, most of that you can solve on your walks. Let's cut to the heart of the matter on this one. Being able to own anything that isn't already in this room, Alex said. This is a prison cell, to be sure, and you're not going to be leaving any time soon. Truth of the matter is you'll likely die of old age before you're released from my possession. Alex said it as gently as he could. He wasn't sure if Sylvia had taken her thoughts that far down the line. Admittedly, he'd expected her to, but that didn't make it so. I'm aware, my lord, she said, her smile turning sour. I'll allow you to have 7 sets of clothes and make use of the keep laundry. Nothing else will be allowed to be brought into your room. My price is rather simple. I get to pick out all your clothes, and even your hairstyle. I I think I'd like you to fit my tastes, since you're my concubine." Sylvia's brows drew together, her ragged nails tapping against the table. "Would the outfits be in fashion, and the hairstyle as well?" "Certainly. You can even present all the items you'd like me to view for you, and we can pick them out together. I may not select the ones you like, but I'll hear your opinion." That he is very choosy about it. "Then I agree, and do so swear," Sylvia said. She sighed, crossing her arms in front of her chest. "I'm well aware of what you're doing, you know."
"Are you?"
"Yes. You're slowly turning me into what you want. I realized it only after I came back, though. Your bodyguard made the situation abundantly clear to me by her name and her demeanor. I imagine what she went through was similar to what I'm going through now."
"Quite right. I am indeed molding you."
"So what are you going to do about it now that you know?" he asked. "Barter myself slowly," Sylvia said, with a rueful smile, "and hope that I somehow manage to outwit you and escape. Or that you die in battle. Before I'm little more than an actual bed warmer."
"Good luck with that," Alex said with a grin, and then stood up.
"If I may ask, what number did you plan on assigning me? If the time comes, that is," Sylvia queried.
"Numbers are assigned merely as the next in order. If you were to be numbered today, it'd be 4.
Sitting alone in his bedroom, Alex couldn't sleep. Anna and Holly had kept him company every night this week except tonight. Apparently they'd both had their period start up, and now were playing nurse to each other in their shared bedroom. Staring out his small window, he could see the guards go through a rotation down below. "Must be close to midnight," he thought. The door behind him creaked open. It was silent enough that he almost didn't hear it. Looking over his shoulder, he could see Carla slipping through the doorway. She swayed for a second where she stood, then moved deeper into the room itself.
"She's drunk," he thought.
Bumping up against what he thought was a dresser, Carla stumbled to the side and fell heavily to her knees. Holding back a snicker, he walked over to her, then reached under her armpits and lifted her up.
"Master?"
she mumbled.
"Yeah, it's me."
"Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you."
"You didn't. I was already awake."
"I'm not that drunk, just tipsy. Didn't see the damn dresser."
"Uh-huh."
Carla took a step forward, her hands resting on his shoulders.
"Master, I wanted to talk to you about hiring another bodyguard." "It's good that you're awake," Carla said, staring at him.
"That's fine, but I think it'd be better to talk about this in the morning, don't you?"
"No, because I need to drink to do this for the first time. This worked out well."
"You're hiring another bodyguard, and I already found... Excuse me.
You're hiring another bodyguard, and I already found the right woman for the job," Carla said. "Going to pay for it now. We'll do this once a week, I swear on my oath."
Dropping down to her knees, Carla hooked her fingers into his nightwear and yanked it down. Before he could react or tell her no, or even agree, Carla had inhaled him with a single slurping noise. She had him entirely in her mouth, her chin to his nuts, her nose to his stomach. Reaching over, Alex grabbed onto the dresser to get some balance with his left hand, his right hand falling atop Carla's head. Pulling back, she let him slide out between her lips, then pushed forward again, straight to the hilt of his rapidly hardening member.
"I get final say on who we hire, but I agree," Alex said, his hand sliding down behind her head as she started to pick up speed.
Carla mumbled something around his shaft, but didn't stop. Her hands came up behind him and grabbed his ass, pulling at him even as she thrust her head forward. Now rock hard, Alex was thoroughly enjoying himself. Carla was obviously more drunk than she let on, except Alex didn't give a damn anymore. Drunk or not, it felt great. Carla was pushing him down her throat each time and had fallen into a nice, swift rhythm. She was working him pretty well for someone who seemed like she'd be caught dead before giving head. As she smashed her nose to his stomach, he felt her tongue slide out and furiously lick at the top of his sack, his tip buried in her throat.
"Damn, too," Alex said, unable not to watch her as she did it. "That's great."
Carla mumbled something again, then fell back into her rhythm. Her left hand floated around his front and grabbed his jewels tightly, squeezing and kneading them with her fingertips. She started to suck harder on him. Her lips tightened as she pulled back from him every time.
"Fuck, I'm gonna pop there, too."
"You ready for it?" Alex asked, as he wasn't sure what'd happen if he just unloaded into her mouth as drunk as she was. Grunting, Carla released him entirely, his length sliding out of her mouth.
"Too drunk. I think I'd puke. Fill me up tonight. I'll swallow it next time," Carla said.
With both hands, she pushed her pants down to her ankles and fell backward onto the ground, her knees spread wide for him.
"Put it inside me tonight. Next time, I'll take it in the mouth. I promise,"
she said, patting her thighs. Not needing a second invite, Alex just about fell on top of her and slid right into her very wet channel. Pumping furiously into her, he wanted to find his climax hard and fast. Carla's whole body shifted under him with the intensity of desire and need. She accepted him completely, her hands trailing up and down his sides, her ankles floating partially in the air as she kept her knees up. A minute in, and he'd hit his peak, his hands digging into her sides. Carla moaned and rolled her hips underneath him as he thrust deep into her, filling her with his seed. Moving her head from side to side, Carla's hands pressed to his lower back. Her body shuddered each time he sank his length into her. Unable to control himself and being driven on by her obvious enjoyment, Alex pummeled himself into her, trying to put everything as deep as he could. Then, with a shivering breath, everything was over, and Alex was empty. Carla's hands shot up to grab him by the back of the head, and then she kissed him, furiously. As quick as she had kissed him, she released him. Her arms flopped to her side, her body slumping to the ground, and she started snoring deeply.
"Two?" Alex asked. "Damn, she was way drunker than I thought," he thought to himself,
pulling himself out of her. He tried to figure out what would be the best course of action. Can't leave her on the ground. Might as well get her into bed, then. Getting his arms under her, he somehow managed to lever her up off the ground and into his bed. Taking a moment to undress her of everything but her undershirt, he arranged her limp form as best he could and covered her up. Then crawled into bed with her and immediately fell into a deep sleep. Well, that was fun. Chapter 18.
Husband, said a soft voice in Alex's ear, it's time to wake. Today's the day you head out to war.
Opening his eyes, he found Anna hovering directly over him. She was kneeling next to the bed, bringing her much closer to him in height. Her right hand rested on his jaw while her left toyed with his hair. Standing a step behind her with her hands clasped in front of her, Holly looked as lifeless and doll-like as ever. She seemed to be made of stone. Good morning, dear Aunt. Good morning, dear. Oops, wrong person.
Good morning, dear, Anna said, then kissed him lightly. Daddy said one should wake a few hours before traveling. There's always last-minute things that will be forgotten otherwise. It's just a smidgen past dawn right now.
Good morning, Lord Husband, Holly said, bowing her head to him. Holly had settled into her role rather quickly. She was quick to do anything he asked of her and seemed very predisposed to making sure she took care of anything he needed before he asked. Not that he could blame her. The payment he'd sent off to the Lynns had squashed their debt down to a manageable level, something they could afford without strain while even putting a little bit away in savings. Holly had started crying when she saw the armed couriers Alex had hired to set off for the Lynn estate. Yet, he felt nothing for Holly. There was no doubt she felt nothing for him. Anna had been more correct than she'd realized. Holly was little more than a conquest, less so than even his numbered projects. Holly had given him everything in the barter and had nothing else to offer him. She was conquered well and truly. Grumbling, Alex didn't want to get out of bed. It was warm in his bed, comfortable. He wanted to sleep a little longer despite Anna being right. Perhaps it was because she was right that he felt that way. Thank you ever so much, Jazzy. Very sweet of you.
I'm glad you took two to bed. I worried about it being empty, Anna said, then stood up. No lord should ever have an empty bed. I'll work on that.
He'd forgotten about Carla. Turning his head around to face the other way, he found Carla sleeping only inches from him. Her left hand lay just above his privates on his lower abdomen, her right hand under his neck, sleeping away as if there were nothing wrong in the world at all. Yeah, she's going to wake up with a terrible hangover, I'm afraid. Let's take this elsewhere. Give her a chance to wake up without being watched, Alex said. Carefully, he set Carla's hands aside and clambered out of bed, only to have Anna press herself to him and hug him tightly.
You must come back, husband. Even if not in one piece, you must come back. I don't want to be a widow already. if ever, Anna said, pressing her face to his chest.
I'll keep that in mind, Alex said, running his fingertips through Anna's hair.
Lifting her head up, Anna kissed him then, pressed her mouth to his ear. Walter said he has a number of cases for you to judge. I asked him to pull any case possible as well, so it will be much more than normal. I'm going to hold justice in your name. I'll try to get only pretty women with long sentences put into the dungeon, Anna whispered. Douglas is already aware.
Grinning, Alex hugged Anna tightly. I'm betting she can't make deals on my behalf. But she can at least prep them for me. Helpful little thing. She really is acting as supportive as she can.
Holding his wife, he kissed her ear.
You're a wonderful wife. Fill the dungeon to the brim for me. See what Douglas thinks of expanding it to another level as well. You're amazing.
Anna nodded her head once, staring up at him with her simple and dangerous smile. Just one moment, y'all. I'll be right back.
Sorry about that.
I have to admit, sir, I think she's right. In his own way.
Carla, Riley, and Valeria rode in the carriage with him. Carla on his right, Riley and Valeria across from him. Maxwell, David, and Walter's man were all in another carriage in front of theirs. All around them were Maxwell's people. Marching in front and behind of them was Bulwark. Alex had cajoled everyone into leaving earlier than everyone else thought they would. His reasoning was simple. He didn't want to run the soldiers ragged before they'd even seen combat. There was no point in exhausting his people before then. It cause only problems and fatalities. They may only be mercenaries, but they were his mercenaries. More so since they'd put away their company banners and uniforms and were all now in the colors and flags of Brit. We'll be settled today.
Pardon me. We'll be settled today, won't we, Master? Riley asked, her voice bright and chipper.
Ever since she'd been allowed to leave the dungeon cell, she'd been a model personal maid. Her optimism and positive nature had shown through. Though she'd gotten extremely clingy.
I'd suppose so, Alex said. The trip had been rather boring for the most part. He regretted that. He wasn't able to read as they rode. It had always made him fairly sick to try to read while traveling in a car. And that was a much smoother ride.
Good. I'm tired of bouncing around in this box, Carla muttered.
It isn't so bad, Valeria countered, her sharp smile aimed at the ex-bandit. I could think of many worse things, like being a murdering bandit queen with friends who rape and murder anyone they come across on the road. An anonymously
and animosity existed between those two that Alex didn't quite understand. He was already planning on interceding when it became too much. But so far as they kept it civil around him, or being a sneaky cunt who likes to be mistreated and gets off on the idea of being used, Carla said without any heat. Riley pouted at each woman. Stop it, both of you. We're here to serve Master, not Bigger. Valeria shrugged her shoulders. I'll not hide the fact that Master rewarded me. Pardon me. I'll not hide the fact that Master rewarded me for catching that sneak thief, she said. There's no reason to be upset that all you're good at is sleeping with him. It had been a minor thing, but something he'd wanted to use as an example for the three of them. Rewards would be dispensed for exemplary service. Catching a thief who had been stealing supplies was the example he needed. Valeria had caught him in the dead of night and turned him over to Maxwell immediately. How she'd caught him, she didn't say. Apparently, she'd been practicing her field craft again when it had gone down. And as far as he knew, she hadn't spoiled her cover either. Everyone viewed Valeria as his personal camp woman. He'd taken her to war with him. As a reward for maintaining cover and catching the thief, she'd asked to be shackled and gagged and put into his bed. She hadn't wanted to have sex, just to be left in his bed like that. Miscalculated a bit with her, but if I'd known she would fully embrace her masochism, I wouldn't have encouraged it to begin with. Now I have to go backwards with my deals if I want anything out of her, he thought. Or I use her to capture people I could use instead. Huh. Grinning at the idea, he turned to Valeria. Actually, that reminds me. I need a private chat with you later, three, Alex said. Valeria nodded her head slowly, uncertain. I think we're here, Carla said deliberately, changing the subject. Why is that too? Riley asked, trying to peek out the window. Because I can see the Duke's guard heading this way, along with the Duke, Carla said. Everyone is making way for him. Grand. All right. One, three, stay with the coach. If we don't come back soon, set up camp for us. Two, you're with me. Go ahead and open the door, and let's go meet our liege, Alex said. Thank the gods, Carla said, opening the door without another word. Stepping out of the coach, she quickly fell out of sight. Alex smiled at Riley and Valeria, then stepped out as well. Carla was already pushing her way through the ranks. Alex fell in right behind her. His guard fell into place around him. Even a standard-bearer supporting the House of Brit coat of arms, sporting the House of Brit coat of arms. Coming out the far side of the marching ranks, Alex found the Duke waiting for him. Good tidings, Count Brit. You're several days earlier than expected, said the Duke. He was dressed warmly, despite the weather being fair. Getting on in years and can't keep your body heat anymore, huh? He thought. Good tidings, Duke Tanulf. I must apologize. I found myself eager and couldn't remain in Brit any longer.
Fine, fine.
Did you bring your wives with you, or are you traveling by yourself?
Asked the older man. Odd question. I wonder if I should worry about him trying to have my wives killed.
I am indeed traveling without my wives. They're both minding the county while I'm out and about, Alex said with an easy smile.
Ah, I'm sure that's uncomfortable. I know I simply never got a good meal until I hired a personal chef.
I'm afraid I haven't thought ahead that far. I'm personal chefless, though I look forward to learning from this. It's my first time on campaign, Duke.
Then I invite you to dinner, Count.
You can meet my daughter. She's traveling with me for some experience in campaigns.
That's odd, Alex thought to himself. Bringing your daughter along to a war?
Duke Ranulf's son was slain last year during a border skirmish with Duke Gaelis. The line of succession now falls to his oldest daughter and last living child, said the voice in his head.
Ah, that makes more sense. And also why I was being targeted to marry.
Matrilineal marriage to me would have given our children two titles to work with.
Huh.
That, or I'd be dead as soon as the first child was born.
I accept your invitation, and I'll be there.
Alex said, bowing his head. Perfect. We'll sup at the sixth bell. I can't imagine any more of my vassals arriving today, so it'll just be you, my daughter, and I.
No need to bring any guards. I'll have my own people on hand, the Duke said, turning his horse.
Lord Tanulf left, dismissing Alex without a word.
I don't like him, Carla said under her breath.
And yet I cannot decline without putting us at risk. It'll be fine. It's just dinner. Worst case scenario, they'll ask me some uncomfortable questions, Alex said.
Then he smiled and turned to Carla.
And isn't today the first of the new week?
Carla shook her head with a growl.
Fine. That's the deal I made. I'll be waiting for you, she said. Come to bed early at least.
I'll try. As soon as the dinner ends, I'll join you. Alex paused, unsure if he wanted to ask her the question that was at the forefront of his mind.
You won't be drunk this time, will you?
No. On duty tonight. Can't.
Good.
At least he could look forward to having a sober Carla go down on him this evening. The bodyguard she'd tried to hire hadn't shown up yet, and she was supposed to meet them here in the field no later than tomorrow. Carla's deal, however, remained in place. She'd forced it on him without any input from him, and he wasn't about to let her out of it. Getting head was worth her bad attitude.
I do apologize for my stuffed sound. I have gotten a little worse again.
Dressed in finery, Alex showed up right as the sixth bell chimed. He'd made sure to time it precisely. If he was neither early nor late, there was nothing that could be said. Keeping everything as tight as he could, and as close to the vest as he was able, Alex would be able to keep the Duke out of his life. Count Britt, the Duke, is expecting you, the guard outside the pavilion said to him. Please proceed inside. Dinner will be served promptly.
I would hope so, he thought.
Alex entered and found himself in front of a house servant. After me, sir, said the man in Tanoff livery, feeling a bit ridiculous following a house servant deeper into what was essentially a giant tent. Alex said nothing. Two turns later, he was standing in front of a small dining table with six seats. Two were already accounted for by the Duke and his daughter, with a third set and empty. The Duke looked up and gave Alex a once-over, then nodded his head. Precisely on time. Thank you for joining us. The Duke said he was dressed much more simply than Alex, but he was also the host. That sort of thing was forgiven more often than not. This is my daughter Regina, the Duke said, indicating the young woman. She wasn't as pretty as Anna or Riley, or as pleasing to the eye with her figure, but she hadn't missed the genetic lottery either. Prettier than Carla and Holly and probably even Valeria. Her hair was brown, a medium length, and her eyes brown as well, with a fair complexion. She would certainly fetch suitors. Alex just happened to already have a couple of women who were far and above the norm around him. It made most other women pale in comparison. Thinking back to the Duke, Alex couldn't deny that once upon a time, Tanoff had probably seen or been a handsome man.
Lady Regina, a pleasure, Alex said, ducking his head to the woman.
Count Britt, she said with a smile. Taking his seat, Alex looked to the Duke for a direction.
We were just talking about the reason we're here, said the Duke.
I haven't shared it around much, but I might as well start with you.
You're the least likely to know the details, so you might need more information.
That would be greatly appreciated. Indeed, I'm afraid I don't know the specifics.
We do have a valid cause. Cases.
This is a term I'm not familiar with.
Cases belie. For this.
My goal is to imprison the Duke of Galis. I'll not take his life, but I will keep him in a dank cell till he dies.
Casus what?
Casus belli, a justification for war that meets the requirements of the peerage and honor. Valid casus belli for declarations of war must be approved by one's liege lord. Forbidding a vassal to go to war who has a valid casus belli creates a casus belli for the vassal to go to war with their liege lord and invalidates their oath for a period of 1 year.
Well, that's dangerous. In a world where an oath is loyalty, invalidating that oath creates some scary concerns. In fact, I could think of a number of ways I could use it to my advantage, thought Alex.
Would have spared my son. He chose not to. I have proof of it, and gave it to our king, who honorably approved my wish. I'll have Galis rot in life, and then in death. Without him, his vassals will run rampant through his entire duchy. Tanoff said with some heat. Truth be told, I feel the cold hand of death on me
at all times these days," the Duke said, his volume dropping off rapidly. "Soon, Regina will succeed me as the Duchess. This will probably be my last action as Duke." Alex smiled politely and nodded his head. "I can certainly understand. I would ask what you would have me do to support you, my Duke." Tanoff gave a wretched smile, his head bobbing slightly. "You'll be holding the left flank, Count Britt." From his memories came the concept that, in historical battles, the right flank was where one put their elite troops, to try and turn the enemy's flank as quickly as possible. In return, one put their worst troops on the left flank and hoped they could hold long enough to turn the flank of the enemy first. In other words, the Duke planned on sacrificing Britt to the last man if it came down to it, or see him be routed and run, at which point he'd work to revoke his title or some other suitable punishment.
"I understand. Any particular orders, or just hold the flank, sir?" Alex asked, unperturbed. Having hired Bulwark, he'd already set up an existing strategy for him to utilize. He'd rely on his people heavily.
Professionals who lived the life of war had a high number of veterans. Alex was going to be able to handle this. Maybe if he got lucky, his opponent would underestimate him, maybe even give Alex a chance to earn some glory.
"Just hold the flank long enough for us to turn theirs, that's all," Tanoff said evenly. "Though, if it comes down to it, I'd say dishonor before death is the better option. I'm sure we'd be able to work something out that would restore your honor."
"That leaves me open to interpret my orders fairly cleanly, so long as I hold the flank. In fact, I could justify that as being nothing more than an end result, couldn't I?"
"I understand," Alex said. "I'll be sure to hold the flank. Count Britt, I'm curious about a few things."
"Oops. Count Britt, I'm curious about a few things," Regina said, getting his attention.
"About what, dear lady?"
"Your county has recently undergone some very interesting changes. I've even had the good fortune to know what your taxes are, as Father shared them with me after we received your vassalage from the king." "The county of Britt is rather well off," she said. "You're definitely doing very well. I make sure our taxes are well documented, so that there is no cause for concern. Though forgive me, excuse me. Oy. I'm getting the wrong voices in here. It changes fast.
We're definitely doing well, doing very well. I make sure our taxes are well documented, so that there's no cause for concern. Though forgive me, Lady Tanoff. I did not hear a question in there."
"Too true. My apologies for not being direct enough. My question is, how did you do it? I didn't see any massive sweeping changes put forth to the king. He would have told us."
Alex smiled, unable to help himself. His answer to those who didn't know was rather simple, and as misleading as he could make it.
"I stopped wasting all of Britt's income on myself and grew up," Alex said. "After that, it wasn't hard to achieve."
The Duke said nothing, watching him, and Regina gave him a large and, Alex thought, very predatory smile.
"All righty. I am really going to make some people pout. My orders are always to read no more than an hour. However, we have come to chapter 19, and I'm not feeling as well as I could for reading, so I'm going to beg my lord's
permission to quit for the day.
Thank you, my lord. I do appreciate it. I'm very sorry to make you pout, Fantasy. In a way.
Which thing did she look up? The Casus Belli? Yeah, it seems to me that this author does pretty well with their research, and that what sounded like a dictionary readout is that voice in his head. Whenever there's something he doesn't understand in the world he's been sent to, he's given the information, just like an encyclopedia spouting off in his head. Pretty handy. Almost wish I had one. Yeah. I'd win far more arguments. Maybe. Master's very well read. Alrighty. Well, yeah, I'm hoping we can get me over being sick. Well, in the next couple months. I was supposed to have it taken care of before we went on our trip, but my ear, nose, and throat doctor has taken this entire month off. So, since we'll be gone in December, I'm kind of forced to wait until mid-January, mid to late January. I will consider it. I don't keep honey in the house that much, but anyway. Alrighty, ladies. Thank you ever so much. It is wonderful having people who truly love to hear the story. I do hope you've had the chance to catch up some and hear some of the past story readings, Jazzy. I do apologize for not getting the last one reread and up on the website. I'll have to do that later tonight or tomorrow. Huggles, you guys. Hope to see you both next week.